Hello, everyone. This is Renette Senhams, Chew on This. Thank you so very much for being here. Some of the viewers, you're already out there. We see you. You have been commenting already. Very anxious to see and hear the latest from the renowned Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who is with me today. And so I'm going to bring Sherry here onto the screen. Hello, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Thank you so very much for being here once again.
You betcha.
So we, a few months ago, actually in January, did an interview, and that interview has gone absolutely viral, information regarding the COVID inoculations. We don't call them vaccinations because that's not what they are. And since then, you and I have been talking quite a bit, and what you had mentioned to me is that you've been, of course, every single day and night, you're doing further research as more information comes out and so on. And you want to make sure that you're very clear on what these vaccinations do and what they don't do, as well as some of the results that we are seeing with individuals, including some injuries and some deaths. So why don't I just let you take it from here? And why don't you talk to me about the latest information and anything that you want to add for our viewers to hear today?
Well, I think that when did we exactly do that interview?
It was in January.
It seems like it was day before yesterday. Oh, you know, time just runs. You know, sometimes I'll sit down and I'll look at the clock and it'll be like 10 minutes to the top of the hour. And I'll go, great, I got time to walk in the kitchen, get a cup of coffee and come back. And it'll be like 15 minutes. How did that happen? You know, so it's like this time slippage thing. So anyway, since that time, as you know, I continually read voraciously on this. I'm constantly digging deeper and deeper into the science, and it's become more of a conversation piece. In fact, I just did a big interview for a documentary just before I came on with you. And, you know, one of the questions was, what is one of the good things that's come out of this COVID scam? And I would say that one of the very, there are several, in my opinion. One is that people are paying more attention now than ever before. They're paying attention to what the powers that be are trying to do to us and cram down our throats. They're paying attention to this whole concept of vaccines and vaccination, which nobody's paid attention to in the last 20 years that I've been doing this. Very few. Only people that would pay attention and wake up are after they've had a travesty, right, after they've had a child or a family member that's been injured. We're actually finding who our tribe is. Mm-hmm. We're finding who our like-minded people are that we can have community with and that we can start to do things together and maybe build a parallel society outside of this nonsense. Mm-hmm. I think that people are really trying to understand science maybe better than what they ever had before. So when we did this interview in January, I mean, since that time, excuse me, I've done another, oh gosh, I spend, just so people know, and if you didn't hear who, you know, before, I've been exploring problems associated with vaccines since September of 2000 and logged well, far past 40,000 hours of my time now that have been investigating and reading the scientific literature. And the demand on my time has gotten to be so big that the only thing left to go is sleep. And I can tell you that the vast majority, probably 4 to 5 days a week, I'm going to bed between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, getting up between 7 and 8. And so you see these little weary, sleepy eyes, there's a reason for that.
I can verify that as far as your busyness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so since that time, I have mapped out, I started out by, when we did this interview before, I said 7 mechanisms of injury, and we actually only talked about 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. Well, since then, I've discovered 10.
Wow.
And I believe there's probably more. And it's just a sheer matter of time to be able to go through and dig down on more things. In fact, I just found another one day before yesterday. And so it's in my personal and professional opinion, which I still have First Amendment rights to say, that this is a very well-designed killing machine. You know, the people that designed this are smart. They have trillions of dollars at their disposal. They can hire the best and the brightest everywhere. They can do, they have lots of years of research that they can pull upon, because many of these articles that I pull out are having anywhere from 20 to 50 footnoted references. So this is not information that's hidden. It's not information that's not readily available to the powers that be, you know, in their nefarious plan. So they know, they know, they know exactly what they're doing. And one of the things I want to go through with, so people who hadn't heard that before, was new to the science, and I'm not sure if this will actually show. Let me try this and see if this will show. Can you, can this actually, does this actually show up?
It does. You can back up a little bit and now up a little bit. There you go. Look at that. Okay.
So this is what actually happens, which normally happens in your body all day long. We make proteins. Let me see. I can just, can you see it?
Yep,
can you see it like that?
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah.
Okay. So we make proteins all day long, and this is how our body normally makes proteins. You take a DNA, and through a process called transcriptase, you make messenger RNA. You use an enzyme called reverse transcriptase. Before when I said that the messenger RNA made the, or the reverse transcriptase used messenger RNA to make the protein, I'm correcting that. Because when you read the medical literature, it talks about the messenger RNA taking over your body's machinery. Well, the machinery that it actually takes over is something called a ribosome. So you have DNA, it's a one-way process using this enzyme called reverse transcriptase to make messenger RNA. And what is messenger RNA? But it's a replication of the DNA, and it goes forth into your cells literally with a recipe.
And raise it up a tiny bit, Sherry. There you go.
Thank you. It literally is encoded, and that's the language it uses. It's literally encoded with a recipe, and that recipe is to build a protein. So this is a one-way street, and it goes over and makes a messenger RNA, which then uses your ribosomes as the factory through a process called translation to make a protein. That protein then goes out into your circulation and can be used for a variety of things. Your body may be making proteins to heal if you've been injured or if you've had surgery. It may be making proteins that are building blocks for your hormones or for your immune system. So this is a normal process that happens all day long. And this is a one-way street. And when you make this protein, one of the things that can happen, it can go out here, cellular utilization, or if that protein was made abnormally, through this process called transfection, that protein can get reincorporated back into your DNA. And quite frankly, that's one of the many mechanisms of how your body develops cancer cells, because it puts this protein back in here so that the next round of messenger RNA is made. This has been permanently changed, and you start to create abnormal messages. Oh. Those abnormal messages become proteins, and this is normal immunology. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this is a normal process that happens all day long. We use this enzyme. And so when the people that say, you know, oh, all you crazy people, the messenger RNA doesn't affect the DNA, they are correct. It does not. It happens by an intermediary when it makes the protein that can come back here and affect the DNA. Wow. So this is normal. This is what's happening. It's how we repair our bodies. It's how we create different things. So this is what happens. Well, tell me where you can see this.
That's good, right there.
Okay. So this is what happens when you get injected mRNA, which comes from the Pfizer shot and the Corona shot, or the Moderna shot. So you've got messenger RNA that's already been encoded with a specific recipe on it in using the CRISPR technology and in the laboratory. They create this messenger RNA that has a specific recipe on it that they want to make a spike protein. That little piece of messenger RNA synthetically made in a laboratory is really unstable. If they just directly injected the messenger RNA into a body, the body would go, it's a little weird piece of protein. Let's get rid of it. It'd be gone in no time. So they wrap it around this coating of lipid. It's a thick lipid coating. Think about it like they put it inside of a tennis ball. Mm-hmm. And that thick coating on the outside of the tennis ball, in the Pfizer shot, there's three different lipid proteins. I'm sorry, in the Moderna shot, there's three different proteins. In the Pfizer shot, there's four. So that thick coating around the outside of it protects that messenger RNA from changing its pattern, changing its recipe, or from being degraded once it's injected inside of your cell. Those little lipid protein coatings that make up that tennis ball have never been injected into human beings before. So if you think about it, if anybody has experience with remembers from high school chemistry, you can have three completely inert ingredients sitting on a bench, do nothing. But you mix all three of them together in a test tube. The test tube can bubble and explode. Mm-hmm. So we don't know what happens when that gets injected inside of our body, if there's one individually or two or three. And we certainly have done no synergistic toxicity on this. We assume that it's inert. Because on the outside of that tennis ball now, like what we're talking about here, on the outside of the tennis ball is the best way to describe it is like a shellac coating around the outside of it. Mm-hmm. And that coating is polyethylene glycol. Now, since we spoke the last time, Renette, I took a real deep dive into investigating polyethylene glycol because we were hearing all of these people in the UK having anaphylactic shock. Mm-hmm. And many people were saying they thought it was due to the polyethylene glycol. So I thought, well, I wonder if that's true. So I did a lot of research and pulled up a lot of papers about it. Polyethylene glycol was discovered, I'm going to say, in the late 1960s. And by 1970, they had decided that it was an inert molecule and they started using it everywhere. Mm. And it's in chemicals, it's in cosmetics, it's in food, it's in industrial products, it's in a lot of injectable medications. So over that period of time since the 1970s, many people have been sensitized to polyethylene glycol. Mm. And polyethylene glycol is a chemical that can go in and bind to your proteins. So when that chemical binds to a protein, now that looks like an abnormal protein. And your body can make an antibody to that complex. So it pre-sensitizes you to, you've got an antibody, which shows you're having an allergic reaction to that. That antibody then pre-sensitizes you when you get the tennis ball injected that's coated around the outside with the shellac called polyethylene glycol. Mm-hmm. So you're pre-sensitized, causing a lot of the allergic reactions where we see people's arms all red and swollen, people that are going into anaphylactic shock, things that are having shock, sort of like anaphylaxis, severe allergic reactions because they've been pre-sensitized. Now, how much of the population is pre-sensitized? Well, the articles that I read said that from originally back in the 1970s, when they first started using this, they thought that about 0.2% of the population was sensitive to polyethylene glycol. They now say, depending on which paper you read, between 70 and 72% of the population has antibodies unbeknownst to them to polyethylene glycol. So those people that don't know they have that antibody and have been sensitized to this over the course of their lifetime get either a Pfizer or Moderna shot. They are at greatly increased risk of severe allergic reactions, immediate type reactions, like either immediately or within the first 4 to 5 days, because of this pre-sensitivity to the polyethylene glycol. So that's mechanism of injury number one of how this shot can kill you is by anaphylaxis. So let's go take a little bit further with my diagram. Tell me when that looks right. Is that okay?
Good.
You see that?
Yeah.
So we're taking the messenger RNA that's been pre-coded with a recipe to make a spike protein. We're wrapping it in that lipid coating, putting the shellac around the outside of it and injecting it as a shot. And then this opens up like a little eggshell and deposits the messenger RNA inside, pre-made, pre-encoded, predetermined to make a spike protein. So then that messenger RNA runs through the ribosome factory. Through this process, the ribosomes translate the recipe and create the spike protein. Now, from there, that spike protein, three things can happen with that spike protein. One of the things that can happen with the spike protein is that it can go on the outside of the cell and glob onto the outside of your cells, which then makes it, it just can glob to the outside of the cells. That's really important. The second thing that can actually do is that the spike protein can, with that, whoops, where'd you go? With that same process, so it can glob onto the outside of your cells and become, in chemistry and immunology, what they call a hapten. And a hapten is the thing that sets you up for future allergic reactions. So the spike protein can glob onto the, that's the first thing. The second thing, by the same process that we talked about before, that spike protein, through this process of transfection, can get reincorporated into your own personal DNA. So again, when all the naysayers say, oh, you guys are just crazy, the messenger RNA doesn't do anything to affect the DNA because this is a one-way process, they are correct. It is this translational process after the protein's been made that gets incorporated back into our DNA. But the third thing that the spike protein does, and more importantly and more nefariously, is the spike protein then goes out into your circulation, and you start to make antibodies to the spike protein that they call them anti-spike antibodies. And for those that are listening, that's important to remember. You may want to jot that down somewhere that just says, and the way that they write that down in the medical literature, they write anti-S antibody. So it's anti. So if you see that somewhere, that's what that is. Anti-spike antibody. It's the antibody. And the whole point of this exercise, the whole point of any vaccination that's into your body, is that you inject something to create an antibody. Mm-hmm. Now, what makes those other shots different, like MMR and chickenpox and measles and shingles and all that, is the type of antibody that is made is called a neutralizing antibody. So the next time chickenpox floats through the neighborhood, it globs hold of it and neutralizes it. Well, these antibodies are a little bit different. And they also have different characteristics that they can attack your own organs. So the anti-spike antibody, one of the direct adverse things that it can do is, again, I'm going to explain it again like I did on our first video. If you think about an antibody, if you were to draw that on a piece of paper, think about it being a capital Y. Mm-hmm. It's a capital Y. And the top two arms are called the FAB fragments, like Frank Appleberry, FAB fragments, these two arms. And they're the ones that grab hold of the antigen. They're the ones that grab hold of the messenger RNA or of the spike protein or of the measles virus or whatever. That's what they do. And the stem of your Y down here at the bottom, that's called the FAC fragment, like Frank Apple Charlie. And once it grabs hold of an antigen, what this antibody does is it goes over and attaches to an eosinophil or a mast cell or a macrophage or one other type of white blood cell in your body to neutralize it and gobble it up, make it go away. That's normal. That's what's supposed to happen. Okay. But this spike protein acts differently. In fact, what it can actually do is that it can actually attack many of your cells in your own body. It can attack. There was a study that was done in January by Immunosciences Lab. So what they did is they said, well, we just wonder if this antibody made to the coronavirus, to the spike protein that is supposed to be on the surface of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, is... when you make that antibody, does it just like laser guided track out that spike antibody? And does it leave everything else alone? Mm-hmm. Or does it also attack other things? So what they did is they did an experiment where they set up what in the lab, they call them little wells. They're little superficial dishes. And they put all of these serums in them to 55 different tissue types. 55 different tissue types. And then they dropped a little serum that had the anti-spike antibody on each one of those tissue types. And what they found was that 28 out of the 55 tissue types were attacked by that antibody. So there's 28 different tissues in your body that can be attacked by the antibody that they're wanting you to create, ostensibly to keep you from developing SARS-CoV-2 infections.
What tissues are those?
Well, let me see. I can tell you exactly what they are. I mean, some of the ones that I know from the top of my head are, there are oligodendrocytes, which means that those are neurological tissues. Let me just pull up the article because I got it bookmarked right here somewhere. Here it is. nope, that's not it.
And when you say neurological tissues, would that be the reason why we're seeing all these tremors, these places of tremors?
Exactly. That's exactly why it is. Let me see. Let me get the right one up here. I've got so many tabs open on my computer, on my Chrome. It's a wonder my machine even works at all. I mean, seriously. So here's the study. I wonder if I can do this. Let me pull this over here.
And would that also be the cause of Bell's palsy happening as well?
No, Bell's palsy would be it's attacking a nerve. It's actually attacking a nerve. So let me see. Oh, I want to do this right. So give me just a second to do this. Yes, here it is. This is the one. Let me bring this over here. Let me put this over here. I'm going to try to see if I can set this up so I can share my screen and show people. It may or may not work. But anyways, the tissue types that are attacked, we found that the SARS-CoV-2 antibodies had reactions with 28 out of 50 types of tissues. And the ones that they crossed, they went from mild reactions to severe reactions. And the most common ones that they contact, that the ones that were the most aggressive, mm-hmm. were ones that were neurological. Let me see right here. 28 antigens were a diverse collection of tissue groups that included gut and barrier proteins, gastrointestinal cells, thyroid, nervous system, the heart, joint, skin, muscle, mitochondria, and liver, and antigens used for screening autoimmune diseases. So the most profound ones, the strongest reactions, were ones found in the brain, ones found in your immune system, and ones that were found in your pancreas.
Wow.
So what that means is that we know from a different study, which is mechanism. So mechanism number two is that these antibodies can have a direct interaction with up to 28 different tissues in your body. And the one that is really a strong reaction is mitochondria. And mitochondria are your little organelles that cause you to have energy. And I personally think that these antibodies, when they attack your mitochondria, one of the main symptoms people are having is profound fatigue.
That's right.
Is because these antibodies have globbed onto their mitochondria and they can't produce energy. And the other thing that it can do is these antibodies are really important in terms of, so I guess the point is that if you inject 1,000 people with these shots, you're going to get a variety of injuries. So some people are going to have, you know, joint pain. Some are going to have lung injuries. Some are going to have kidney and liver injuries. Some are going to have autoimmune things that happen in their thyroid and that whole list of tissues that I just listed. And so, so the problem with that is, Renette, is that the powers that be are going to see this whole plethora of illness that's happening. And they're going to go, oh, it's those new mutant viruses. We know it. That's what's going to cause it. And I've said from the beginning when they started reporting the mutants, has anybody asked any of the patients that have these mutant infections, have you been vaccinated?
Right.
Because we know that the viral proteins will change and the virus is out in circulation. And so if you get this whole bunch of different types of reactions, they're going to say, well, it can't be the shot, because if it was the shot, they'd all have the same side effects. Not true.
So let me say a couple things. First of all, what I'm seeing, we're seeing in the VARS, right? The report from VARS, vaccine injury. I'm hearing it from the frontline workers. We are seeing tons of Bell's palsy. We're seeing miscarriages. We're seeing women lose their menstruation. We're seeing women in their 70s start their menstruation. We are seeing people have a cardiac arrest, dropping dead of a heart attack. We are seeing skin rashes. I don't know if I said Bell's palsy already, tremors. And then we're also seeing people having liver issues as well as blood issues. And then, of course, heart palpitations and so on. Oh, brain fog and complete loss of energy. And this is from VARs as well as people that I personally know. Now, you just hit it. The doctors are not going to equate this with a vaccination. This is going to come down to friends and family members blowing the whistle. Because when I see these reports coming in from what's happening, the injuries happening, you know who I'm hearing it from? I'm not hearing it from the doctors. I'm seeing it in VARs. But what I'm really hearing from are the family members who've lost their parents or their grandparents, or they're seeing them in bed and they've completely deteriorated. So it is going to be absolutely incumbent upon the loved ones and the family members and the neighbors who know these individuals have received a vaccination to make the correlation, because the doctors won't.
And I've only so far talked about two of the ways these shots are going to kill people.
I know. So let's keep going. I'm just horrified, actually, but let's keep going.
But it's really important that you interceded that, because it's really important. The third mechanism is that this, you know, this antibody, I said, is different. It doesn't glob onto it. It's called a non-neutralizing antibody. And what it can do, one of the things that it does is when you're re-exposed to garden variety coronavirus, it doesn't have to be SARS-CoV-2. I mean, we know that coronaviruses have been in circulation for more than 60 years. There are seven strains that can cause infection in humans. Four of them are just cause the common cold. And there's studies that have shown that you can get reinfected by those same strains because they morph and change, just like influenza viruses, right? The surface antigens on influenza viruses can change. And that's why they tell us we have to get a flu shot every year, because the things change. So when you get re-exposed to a garden variety coronavirus, it kicks up that immune response, because remember, your B cells that make the antibody have been sensitized now.
Right.
Which means it will be there probably forever. And when you get what they saw in the animals, that all the animals had pathological changes in their lungs after re-exposure, because the FAC fragment of that antibody, the stem, actually went and attacked the lung tissue and started to break down the alveoli. Mm. The alveoli are the little itty bitty sacs in your lungs, the place where you exchange oxygen and carbon dioxide. They're like two cells thick. And once you break down and destroy alveoli, your lungs are destroyed. So I think that people, once they get re-exposed, one of the mechanisms is that they will present, they will, sorry about that. Oh my gosh, my phone, I turned off my phone so that this wouldn't happen. Now it's coming in on my FaceTime on my computer. I apologize for that.
We're not hearing it. You're fine.
So one of the things that happens with that is that, let me just remove that, make that go away, is that people are going to present with blood in their lungs. They're going to be coughing up blood. That doctors are going to think they either have pneumonia or perhaps present as a pulmonary emboli. But what's really actually happening is this really super high level of anti-spike antibodies are attacking their lungs. And there's another paper that I read that really talks about the fact, it's really complicated science for, you know, to dig through. But really what they've shown is that, you know, we say, Renette, you know, that this virus has a 99% survival rate. Well, why is that? And so that means that 0.1% actually die, right? Well, what separates the difference between the people that die and don't die? And isn't the virus, the spike protein on the circulating virus, the same protein that's injected into your body to make this antibody? Well, what they found, what these couple of papers that I read said, that if you actually are out in the environment, you get exposed to SARS-CoV-2 and you contract the infection and you get sick, the vast majority of people recover within 11 days. And the reason for that is that for whatever reason in their immune system, they don't have a very high spike antibody that's created. They don't have a real robust response to the virus out there in the circulation. They get just enough of a response to neutralize it, make it go away, and you get over being sick. But when we inject one and then two of these injections, the antibodies go into the tens of thousands of range because they are injecting 50 billion segments per shot of this messenger RNA. That comes right off the patent. And so they're flooding the body with these tennis balls with the messenger RNA and the lipid and the polyethylene glycol on the inside, making a ton of these spike proteins. And so that when your body goes on red alert and says, I got to get this crap out of here, and starts making antibodies, the numbers go through the roof. And when the numbers go through the roof, they stay there for a long time. So they have the possibility of this molecular mimicry looking around at the other tissues, the lung tissue, the livers, the kidney, the thyroid, your ovaries, your brain, all of these different things, because you've got so much of it. And the people that recovered within 11 days from natural virus infection had a previous exposure. And so because they had previous exposure, because these viruses have been around for a long time, their B cells were already a little bit primed. They go, oh, yeah, I recognize that. Get rid of it. Just like any other infection that we have, and they recover. And so the ones that don't have that get these shots instead and get this really high robust antibody response are the ones that are having the horrible outcomes. They're going to be at a huge increased risk of autoimmune disease. They're going to be in a huge increased risk of antibody-dependent enhancement. They're going to lose all their tolerance. They're going to have all of these things break down their tissues. And this is only the first three that I've gone through. Mm. You know, we've got this whole, you know, the whole process. The fourth one that I think is super important is the fact that the antibody made to the SARS, to either SARS or to SARS-CoV-2, you've got the spike antibody. The spike antibody, the tail, can go over and can attack to your macrophages. And I think we may have talked about this a little bit in the first video, but I think it bears repeating because it's really important. You know, you have lots of different types of categories of white blood cells in your body. The neutrophils are the ones that are out floating around in your blood. And so stuff gets in your bloodstream. They just gobble it up like Pac-Man and make it go away. The macrophages, for the most part, are in your tissues. So when you get this stuff injected into your tissues, the macrophages all go running in there like, we need to gobble this up and make it go away. Well, in a normal infection, if you know you get this SARS infection and you end up with a compound of pneumonia, you got the white blood cells, the macrophages going into the tissues going, you know, we need to get rid of this. So the first thing they do, the M1 macrophages, release cytokines because they want to burn down the house. They want to burn down all of the stray bark and trees and all this other stuff so they can kill the virus and make it go away. The cytokines make fever happen. So that's when you get pneumonia, you get bronchitis, you get sick, you want fever. There's an ebook that I wrote called The Importance of Fever, because you want that. But you want it to be, as you start to win, and as the underbrush is all burned down and the viruses are all killed off, the M2 macrophages come in and they're like the fire department. Mm-hmm. They come in and they start spraying water on everything, saying, okay, that's enough. They want it to be a controlled burn. And the other thing that the M2 macrophages do is they start to clean up the debris, the dead white blood cells, the dead red blood cells, the little destroyed tissue, and they want to clean that all out so then the body can heal. So the M2 macrophages are anti-inflammatory. The M1 macrophages are the ones that start the fire. Mm-hmm. Well, in normal things that are happening in our body all day long, these guys work together, right? They work together. Well, when you've got this antibody in your system, it kills the M2 macrophages. It attaches, the FC fragment attaches to the M2 macrophages so they can't do their job. So you end up with a more and more and more burn. You end up with more cytokines, more cytokines, more cytokines. And in my opinion, this is what the cytokine storm thing is all about. And when they've sacrificed the animals, you know, that they sacrificed the animals that have been vaccinated, and they looked into their lung tissue, they found it was full of M1 macrophages and zero, no M2 macrophages at all. When they took sick animals that had not been vaccinated, what they found was that there was a balance between M1 and M2 macrophages, and the M2 macrophages started to move into the neighborhood to control the burn after 2 days of onset of infection. So if the body's let to do what it's supposed to do, it gets this infection, it's probably had a previous exposure, squirts out a little antibodies to neutralize it, lets your M2 macrophages come in and heal things up. It's why we have a 99% survival rate, because we're not mucking with Mother Nature.
Okay, so let's go to number four.
Well, the fourth one is really, let me see, I just marking my things off here. So we talked about anaphylaxis. We've talked about the direct adverse effect that they can go in and attack the lung system directly. We talked about how in the re-exposure of the virus, how we get a worse infection than we could have ever possibly have had before, and that's the antibody-dependent enhancement. We talked about once you've had this infection, your body can recover faster. We talked about the macrophages, the M1 and the M2 macrophages. We talked about the antibody cross-reactivity tissues. We'll talk about that. The spike protein can mutate, can cross the blood-brain barrier, and can mutate or cause destruction of two proteins that are in your brain. And let's just call those proteins protein A and protein B. And if protein A gets destroyed by the spike protein, gets modified or damaged or mutated, that can lead to ALS.
Oh.
If you modify protein B, or it becomes mutated and it's converted to a pathological form, it can lead to something called FTLD, which is frontal temporal lobe degeneration. And the frontal lobe is the area of your brain that lives right behind your forehead. Your temporal lobe is over here. It's your frontal lobe where you have cognition, where you communicate, where you pray, where you talk to other people. And so this spike protein can modify the spike protein can merge or distort the original protein that can lead to this this degeneration of the frontal lobe.
Would this be related to Huntington's disease?
No, that's an underlying genetics disease.
So this is not create any kind of Huntington's disease or similar to it at all?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know for sure, because Huntington chorea is really a genetic problem. Now,
I thought maybe emulating. Okay, good. Great.
So, but this frontal temporal lobe degeneration is dementia.
Right.
And how many people have we heard from that have had the shot and they said, I just can't think.
That's right.
And many people have said, I don't feel my soul anymore.
Well, again, the reports I'm getting from family members and friends of their loved ones who received these vaccinations, they have said they're not acting like they used to be. They look at them and they're just not really present any longer. And they're just not there. And this is not 100%, but I'm getting a lot of these personal reports and I'm taking note.
Well, and this might very well be part of the reason why, right? Because people really are, their frontal lobe, their brains are being modified, just like their genes are being not modified by this spike protein that's being injected into our body. Now, I just want to say two more things really quickly, and then I'm going to talk about 9 out of these 10, because just for the sake of time, and I want to change horses a little bit.
Sure.
But we know for sure that we suspect that one of the downsides, now I want to talk just a minute about the J&J shot. Because what makes that different, I don't really have a whole picture here, but you can see. Let's just use this diagram. Could you see it okay?
Yeah, up a little bit. There you go, thanks.
So if this was the J&J shot, in this outer coating, instead of being a lipid coating, would be an adenovirus. And they would shell it out. And instead of having messenger RNA on the inside of it, it would have the spike protein already in it. So it deposits the spike protein into your cell to start making antibodies, but it avoids this process over here. So it's a, that's why they say it's quicker and you only need one shot, because we've avoided all of this nonsense and we've just taken the spike protein and dropped it into the body. Now, I've read other places where they say that they take the DNA of the spike protein, which then creates the messenger RNA, but I don't think that's correct. I mean, I really think that this is the adenovirus. They've taken the adenovirus genetics out. They've put the spike protein in. So now when this binds to your cell, it opens up and the spike protein is already created and is ready to go. Wow. And AstraZeneca shot works the same way. So AstraZeneca and J&J have the same relative mechanism of action, where the Pfizer and Moderna use mRNA. The end result, though, Renette, because everybody said, oh, that must be safer, it's only one injection. The end result is that you make, there's a spike protein that ends up in your system that's never been there before and is going to cause disease and destruction forever. And it creates an antibody. Now, we don't know when you get the messenger RNA. We don't know how long it keeps translating. How long does it make the protein? Does it do it one time, 100 times, 50 times? We don't know. And once you get the spike protein, how long does that last? I don't know. Does it last long enough for your immune system to get rid of it, or it globs onto the surface of your cells, or it gets reincorporated back into your DNA irreversibly? So how long is that going to last? We don't know. How long does it, do the antibodies last once you've made them? We don't know. But your B cells have been sensitized to make those antibodies, and that stays there forever. And so we don't know, you know, there's no long-term studies on this. You know, and all the people go, I got my shot, I feel just fine. Now, we have, you know, the Israeli, and I want to say, so one other thing, and then I want to talk just a minute about the Israeli studies. I mean, the other thing, one of the other mechanisms is that they're pretty sure that this adenovirus combination can lead to cancer. They're already talking about how it blocks out things and can lead to cancer. Well, could all the rest of this lead to cancer too? We don't know. Never been studied for carcinogenicity. Sterility, even though we've already seen the infertility rates starting to drop, because they said, you know, think about it, Renette. I mean, we spent we had a year of everybody clogged up in their houses. Don't you think people would be having more sex instead of less sex because they want to be entertained and have something to do, right? So you would think that the birth rate would be up.
What else are you going to do?
Or it's going to at least stay the same.
Right.
It's gone down.
Wow.
And so it's so. We don't know. It hasn't been tested for fertility, to cause cancer, to change your genetics, to cause birth defects. We know that in the laboratory and by immunological processes, this happens. But has anybody tested it? Hasn't been around long enough to see it. And I had somebody ask me the other day, well, how are we going to know that actually happened? In my opinion, and this is my opinion, in the next, I don't know, 6 to 18 months, if we see a big upcheck in cancer, we know that what's happened is that little foreign protein DNA has gotten into your DNA. And when it normally makes its messenger RNA, it's going to be making abnormal proteins. Abnormal proteins, by definition, can lead to cancer. So this, you know, so the one last thing I want to talk about is the other, one other mechanism is that in the Moderna patent, which they have, it's 300 pages long and they've got, dozens and dozens and dozens of formulations that they already got planned to make for us. And one of them is that if you can inject both the antigen, which is the spike protein, and the adjuvant, which makes a huge increase amount of antibodies, which we've already said, the higher the spike in the antibodies, the more potentially serious forms of disease you have. Well, if they can inject both of those recipes at the same time, hee-haw! We've accomplished something. We've actually had this go even higher. So they're talking about injecting in one of their formulations something called flagellin. So think about flagellin. You know, we've got a messenger RNA that has a recipe to make spike protein. Well, they'll just inject another messenger RNA that has a recipe to make flagellin. And that will run through the ribosomes and we'll have that little protein there. Now, what's the significance of that? Well, if you guys have heard me talk before about the toll-like receptors, toll-like receptors, they've discovered 10 of them in humans. Toll-like receptor 10, they're not really sure what it does, but they know what the other ones do. And toll-like receptor 5, its sole job is just to scan the neighborhood all day long, looking for foreign bacteria that have a tail called flagellum. To see if they have a tail. That's gram-negative bacteria. And on top of some of the little white gram-positive bacteria, they have these little, they look like little hairs or little cell that move them through the water. That's a foreign protein called flagellin. And when the toll-like receptors see it, they say, not supposed to be here. It binds to the receptor. It squirts out some cytokines, which calls in the white blood cells and eat up that bacteria. It's not supposed to be there. Normal process happening 24/7, 365 in our bodies. Our God-gifted toll-like receptors protect us and do that all the time. But the truth of the matter is that those types, those abnormal type of bacteria that have the tail, the flagellin, they don't happen very often. They don't get into our bloodstream very often because we've got this barrier resistance of our skin. You know, we've got all kinds of things that keep it from getting in there. But when they do, the toll-like receptor 5 gets activated and produces interleukin 6 and interleukin 10, which are two really strong pro-inflammatory cytokines. So it occurred to me, Renette, like if we're injecting a recipe, billions of recipes, like 50 billion little mRNAs that have a recipe to make flagellin, which has never been approved as an adjuvant in any other vaccine, not even animal vaccines. It's only been done in some experimental trials to see if it actually works as an adjuvant. And they've been messing around with this for maybe 8 or 10 years, but it hasn't been approved yet. So it's totally experimental. What happens if we inject that into the body, we make a billion copies of flagellin, and suddenly our whole body, every toll-like receptor on every organ system goes, what the heck is happening here? Flood the neighborhood with interleukin 5 and interleukin 10. Flood the neighborhood with fire. We can't have that in here. And that's an on button with no off button. Once that gets turned on and all those little proteins are floating around in there, who's going to turn it off? And we don't know how long they last. And we don't know how much interleukin 5 and interleukin 10 gets poured out into the environment. And that's where, where we'll start seeing these multi-organ system inflammations and people dying because we have flooded the neighborhood with a messenger RNA going through the ribosomes, creating a flagellin protein that doesn't belong there. And it just doesn't belong there. And so that's one of the other mechanisms of injury is flooding the neighborhood with abnormal proteins that turn on all of your cytokines and there's nothing to turn them off.
This is just so unsettling. I have to tell you, I'm sure like many of our viewers, you know, I'm surrounded by a lot of loved ones and friends and neighbors who've got these inoculations. And to the best of my ability, for instance, this type of interview, people, A, won't listen to it, or they won't believe it. And I've learned to let go at this point in time. It's been a painful lesson. One of the things I really would love to hit upon, Sherry, before we have to say goodbye here, is that we did our first video in January, and that has gone viral. In fact, I took it off my channel here.
Can we wait just a second for that?
Oh, sure.
Because there's two things I want to say. Absolutely. One is that I'm going to, it's taking me a long time to get this done because I want it to be really accurate, is that I'm going to be putting together for your listeners and we'll be in, and I want, once this is done, I want it to go viral and spread the everywhere. I will be writing down every one of those mechanisms of injury, putting an explanation underneath it of what it is and underneath it, the references, the medical references where this comes from.
Thank you.
And I'll turn that into a PDF file and give it to all of my friends that have like big lists and things like that. So you can just get it and you will have a doc. I just have a cheat sheet here, but this will probably be a 6 or 7 page document by the time it's done with it. And I will include all these little pictures. so that you fantastic. So that you can get that and be able to. And so it's probably another week or two from getting it completely done, because it's just taking a long time. Because like I said, I want it to be accurate. So I want your listeners and then all the other future people that get to see this, and I hope it goes equally as viral. This, don't be like flooding me and Renette with like, where's that document? How do I get hold of that picture? It's coming. I promise you, it's coming.
And it's also important to note that this is on YouTube, obviously, right now. I have no doubt they will probably take this down as they did before. So if you go to BitChute, and there's Renette Senham's Chew on This on BitChute. It's also, I'm on Rumble, Renette Senham's Chew on This on Rumble. You can find it. You also can find my website called thefoghornexpress.com. And so I'm going to make sure to have links, update links, so you can actually track this down. But this absolutely has to be shared with everyone. It is life-saving. And so this is the only place you're getting this information. We're not getting it from our doctors. And I talk to doctors and I ask them, why don't you know this? Why are you giving these inoculations and not getting informed consent, which is absolutely required for an experimental inoculation? And they literally tell me they have their meetings in the morning and they hit the ground running and they don't have time for the deep dive like Sherry Tenpenny is doing here for all of us. So can we hit upon right now the response of our last video, Sherry?
One more thing. I just want to make a quick comment is that because a lot of people ask questions about the Israel study. I mean, because Israel is the one country that has 100% mandatory vaccination going on. And the conclusion of what that crunch study was, and again, this is really important. It was with the Pfizer shot. That when they did a vaccination campaign between mid-December and mid-February, and the conclusion of it was this, that for the elderly, during that five-week period of time, the vaccination killed 40 times more people than the infection would have killed. And that's in people over the age of 65. And in people under the age of 65, 260 times more people died from side effects of the shot than died of the infection. And when you look at the data, a lot of people, there was over a 30-day period, there was this big spike of deaths in the first 4 or 5 days, which is the anaphylaxis. Then it dropped back down to like normal. And then starting at day 30, it started to increase and it went up from there. Because it takes at least 30 days to get the full impact of the developing of this anti-spike antibody. It takes anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks to start to get the antibody spike. And that continues to grow over time. So where we're really going to see the most impact of this, Renette, is going to be anywhere from 4 to 18 months from now. The immunologist that I spoke to said that we are going to have rampant, massive autoimmune disease for over at least the next 10 years. And when I asked him, I said, do you think it's going to take that long? And he said, well, depending, there's a couple studies that came out that said the full impact of full-blown autoimmune disease can take up to 15 years. So this is going to kill people for a long time to come.
And I'd like to speak to the political and civil liberties perspective of Israel. I've gotten a lot of messages and videos of individuals saying, look, at 50% of Israelis do not want to take this vaccination. It is mandatory. And what they've done now, this is very telling, is that they have these basically vaccination certificates. And they're now putting these, and these are permanent wristbands on those who've been vaccinated. And they can go shopping. They can go to the bank. They can go back to the living. But those who are not participating cannot go about their daily lives whatsoever. And this is in Israel.
Visions of specters of things to come, right?
Right. This is a big red, a huge red flag.
Yeah.
So I wanna talk to what I would consider criminal, irresponsible, deadly behavior that we are seeing from our Facebook and online fact checkers. Because when we did our, I mean, we must be over the target, because when we did our video, it's going viral. And then I see Snopes.com comes up and they have the audacity to say that Sherry Tenpenny is uninterested in papers published since the emergence of the disease. I'm like, really? That's interesting. Then PolitoFact comes along and says, this does not cause autoimmune diseases or death. There's absolutely no evidence that suggests clinical trials, which lasted months and included tens of thousands of people, have proven it's dangerous whatsoever. I want to know who these people are. I want to track down these individuals, and I don't know how they're sleeping at nighttime, because they're literally leading people to their deaths with this misinformation. Can you speak to that for just a moment?
Yeah, the guy from Snopes actually did try to contact me, and I told him that I was buried with deadlines and I couldn't get back to him for 2 weeks. I would be happy to have a discussion with him. He couldn't wait. He went and published it anyways. And then we've done some tracking on this guy who's really done hit pieces on people for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and if you know anything about Snopes, it never ceases to amaze me when people will go, yeah, well, I read on Snopes or I read on Wikipedia. You know, it's like, really? If that's your reference? Mm-hmm. Seriously. And then the second person, I mean, most of the articles that I have taken this information from, the vast majority of them, I'm going to say 90%, have been published in 2019 or later. So I guess all of these articles, you know, that isn't soon enough. It has to be 2000. And remember, there's no long-term studies, and studies take a while. And for scientists, you know, God love them for what they're doing, for them to actually do the experiment, analyze the data, write up the thing, get it peer reviewed, get it approved by their editors, get it published, it takes months. Mm-hmm. And so, but a lot of these studies, and that's why I'm putting together this document, Renette, that it will say, you know, like, for example, where it says all animals had immunopathological changes in their lungs after re-exposure. Well, I'm going to show where I took that article, where that article came from, and there'll be a reference. Mm-hmm. And if I can do it right, all of the articles will actually be have hyperlinks in them that you can go right to the article. And sure. So all of these naysayers that go, oh, well, she just took that all out of context. Really? Well, here, read it yourself.
Right.
And hopefully I'll be able to actually, like, a lot of the ones that I have actually have yellow highlighting and blue highlighting. Mm-hmm. And so not only do I think that these people, like what you said, are they leading people to slaughter, so are our pastors and our priests and our rabbis,
right,
who are closing the doors, not allowing people to congregate. They themselves are hiding behind masks and being fearful because they're more concerned, you know, and what kind, or they're saying, no, stay home. We're just not going to do that. So I think that, you know, but they will close their doors to congregating, to worship and to prayer, but they'll open those same doors to make them be vaccination centers and open their door to the pharmakia, which are the sorcerers. Now, go figure that.
Yeah, it's really alarming. I've been talking to a lot of people about that, saying, what happened? Where did they go wrong? And they're like, well, seminary school. They've been taught this. Seminary schools were taken over. And it's all about conformity. Don't ask a question. And we're seeing that, because before, the priests, the ministers, the rabbis, they were the ones who were the rebels. Right? During war and civil unrest, they were the ones with the rebels. They were hiding people in the underground railroad and saving people, and don't know what happened. So again, I'm going to go back to one more time before we start wrapping up. Dear friends and family, for those of you who have other family members and friends who have taken these vaccinations, it is going to be incumbent upon you to do the reporting and get the word out. Tell us the stories of the injuries and the deaths happening, because the press is not telling you, the media is not going to tell you, right? Facebook and all social media is censoring it. So this is really important. And you also have to understand, folks, that every time you have an individual such as Dr. Sherry Tenpenny or even myself, that we start calling out the truth, right? And we start being attacked, our character. Like, if you go to Wikipedia, you're going to see people like now Tony Robbins, political advocate and author Naomi Wolf, Dr. Christian Northrup, Bobby Kennedy Jr. You go to Wikipedia and you're going to see the first thing they say is, oh, they're now they used to be respected, but now they're a conspiracy theorist. They're a QAnon follower. They're a this, a that. They believe in, and they absolutely try to eviscerate these individuals' reputation, because that's all they have. Right?
It's like if you want to go toe to toe with me on the science, let's have at it.
They won't.
And they won't.
And that's been happening to me for almost 10 years in my own local community. This has been like a real, real clear attack on my character and my reputation, because that's what I have. So when you see people, such as the individuals I just mentioned, being attacked over and over and over again, that is because they are over the target.
Absolutely.
Target of truth. Yep. So next time you see somebody being eviscerated online, that is exactly who you should be following.
Oh, that's very good. Absolutely. Yeah. And not just in this industry, but in any other.
No, it's all over the many different industries. Like I speak up against 5G, you know, I speak against, you know, even geoengineering, right? I speak up against, you know, having too many cell towers or even having your iPhone on your body, because we're bioelectric beings, right? Radio frequencies do impact you. All these things. And I've been getting attacked for almost a decade now, like seriously attacked, because that's all they could do was go after my character, because yep. I keep the truth, and so do you. So Sherry, and again we've talked about this, silver lining is COVID has brought these brilliant people and minds, not just around from the nation but the world. We're coming together and we are becoming a unified front. You're one of those individuals who speaks so clearly the truth, and you lay it out in layman terms so we can understand exactly what's going on. And I'm so grateful for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your dedication.
Well, thank you so much. You know, what people really, thank you for saying that. That's really kind. Thank you for your work too. You know, but I think that people, one of the last things I'd like to leave people with is that this really is war.
Yes.
This is biological warfare, not only for our bodies and our minds, but our souls. Right. And that we've been conditioned by movies over all these years to think that war is only when bombs are falling out of the belly of airplanes, or if we're literally standing on the street, literally shooting at each other.
That's right.
This is the worst type of war, because it's a silent war. It's insidious. Mm-hmm. It's people go, oh, I can't believe the government would do anything like this to us. Really? Like the Tuskegee experiment. I mean, there's a whole long laundry list of things that they've done, right? This is, if we don't get people to understand, this is, to me, Renette, this is like the ultimate decision for you people that are listening and going to be listening. It's the ultimate pivotal point on what you're going to do with your mind, your body, and your soul, your spirit. Mm-hmm. About being injected with this mark, mm-hmm. and to have these permanent bracelets and to have these other things hooked up to the cloud, and you be on the blockchain with your QRS code. Are you want to be marked, be part of that system? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, this is the thing, and I've talked about this a lot in the last couple of weeks, is that, you know, Americans have never been inconvenienced like ever. Mm-hmm. We've never had horrible earthquakes or we haven't had, earthquakes or volcanoes. We haven't had pestilence, disease. You always can go to the grocery store. I mean, if they're out of something at Walmart, you'll go to Costco, right? And so there's always something. We've never experienced real persecution here, mm-hmm. by our government. Mm-hmm. We're in it right now. Mm-hmm. Only people think that the government is doing a good thing by hurrying up and getting this into our bodies.
Right.
It's horrifying.
It's so sophisticated warfare. It's silent. It's slick. It's modern day warfare. And the problem is that people have already been getting shot with bullets, silent bullets, and they don't know it yet.
And the sad part is that, to my knowledge, I haven't found anything yet. And believe me, as soon as I would find something, everybody will be the first to know. I mean, I've got a lot of broadcast networks now that are huge. And just say, here, this supplement, this product, this electromagnetic frequency thing, this drug, this something is going to detox your body from these things. I'll be the first one to shout it from the rooftops to try to, because people are going to be responsible and held accountable for the decisions that they've made. And if they've made this decision because they just want the convenience, they don't want any hassle. I want to get on an airplane. I want to go to a concert. I don't really care what the results are. Everybody's got to die someday. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to suffer the consequences of the decision that you make here.
And so will the leaders and the medical practitioners, the doctors and nurses and the providers. They also are going to be held accountable because these are crimes against humanity. And I know, because I talked to a lot of these individuals, these attorneys around the world, they are mounting cases like you won't believe. It's going to make the Nuremberg trials look like child's play when we get done.
I hope so.
That day is coming.
I hope so. Well, thank you for allowing me the opportunity. And I hope that the people will really understand now that we've got, and you know, we might do another one of these in another couple of months, and I might even be able to bring 20 mechanisms of injury to the table.
Because 10's not enough.
Because 10's not enough. You know, I say this, Renette, you know, it's like, can I, just as a challenge to the listeners, can you think of any product in any industry at any point in time in history that has thousands of deaths and tens of thousands, if not more, injuries in the first 3 months of use?
Right.
That not only is it still on the market, but there's a full court press to make sure that everybody gets it.
That's right. And censorship to cover the damage.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, again, everyone, share this widely. You know, if you don't find this on YouTube, go to, again, BitChute and to Rumble.com. Renette Senham's Chew on This. And I also, again, my personal website is thefoghornexpress.com. I'll make sure to have links and other information, especially the PDF that you're going to be sharing soon. And Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, thank you for being a modern day hero. I just have the greatest respect for you. So thank you so much for standing so tall and so bravely.
Thank you so much. And you can find all of my stuff at drtenpenny.com. It's DR, no period, drtenpenny.com. You can find our educational offerings, website. We'll actually have this, the PDF file posted there too. So you can follow, and it has all of my social media links, everything that you can find. You can find everything under the umbrella of drtenpenny.com.
Thank you so much, Sherry, and have a lovely day. I hope you get some rest.
Me too. Thank you.
And thank you all viewers for watching. We really appreciate this. Thank you so much.